tell us what sort of incidents exactly we're talking about here?
Do you know, Lana, there's a number of different incidents that we do see, but we've always had issues with funeral cortages, but I think recently, in the past sort of 5 or 10 years, our teams, our funeral directors, have been reporting that this is happening more and more often.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think people are showing such little respect?
Do you know, I don't know. I don't know whether it's about education or whether people actually understand and appreciate the convention of showing cortages and showing, you know, the family of the bereaved respect. And I know, you know, Simon sort of mentioned that they're an inconvenience and it's a needless to travel so slowly. But as well as respect for the deceased and the family, it's quite a practical reason that cortages, you know, have to travel at moderate speed to be able to keep all the cars, the following cars, together. And that's no mean feat going through certain cities and towns, traffic lights, roundabouts and all those sort of things.
So, and that's what I wanted to ask you this morning. Is it just out of tradition, or actually on the more practical side of things, there's a reason why you do it as well and you find it helpful?
There are two things. Tradition is still there, very much so, but there is this very, very practical issue as well about being able to keep your family cars together. There'll be a hearse, perhaps two or three following limousines, but then there'll be a number of smaller private cars following behind. And again, you know, as a funeral director and a hearse driver, you want to make sure that your family arrive at the place of service or the place of burial or cremation, you know, all in one piece and fitting well.
Well, one of the points already raised this morning is why is there the need for it? Simon spoke earlier about why don't you just meet as a family at the church or at the crematorium? Why is there this big need for this procession in the first place?
Funerals are about choice, Lorna, and a lot of families, you know, it's important, you know, to have perhaps the hearse to leave from the deceased's former residence or a place that they held dear, and a need then to follow the hearse. But again, some families choose to actually meet at the place of service, and that's fine. That's what we do, and we organise, you know, anything that the family wish. We'll do it. There is a proportion of people who do that, but there is still, you know, the vast majority of people going from the place of service, perhaps the church, to the crematorium or to the cemetery. There is a necessity to have to follow the hearse.
And do you think the family that chooses to have the procession actually they take some comfort from it themselves? They leave the house as a family together, and they're travelling with their loved one for what is the last time?
It's the final journey almost, and it has it resonates in people in many different ways, and I think it is important, and it does provide comfort, you know, and it does allow families to take their leave properly and to say goodbye properly. And the challenge is where other road users just don't respect that and just see the cortege as an inconvenience.
Have you had this? Have you been on the end of this type of threatening behaviour yourself?
I have. I still class myself as a funeral director, and I don't arrange that many funerals now because of the demands of my role. But, you know, I can certainly say, you know, one example that I have quite recently in Yorkshire was where a car tried to overtake the private cars on the route up to the crematorium, and it ended up actually cutting in between the limousine and the hearse because the car just couldn't get past the cortege. Now, that's really upsetting for the family in the limousine, and, you know, quite startling as well for us in terms of the funeral director and the hearse driver.
So
Sorry, Lorna.
What is the right practice if you are in a funeral procession or you're behind the funeral procession that's travelling to the crematorium or the church? What would you say was the correct protocol to do?
I think it's to keep as close as you can to the car in front while still being safe. Turn on your headlights. Make sure that your headlights are on. And actually, we provide cortege markers for our families as well, which are simply like a black flag that attaches to the window. And that actually, you know, hopefully shows other road users that you're actually part of a cortege and there is a reason why you're travelling, you know, at this sort of speed.
David, many thanks for joining us this morning and talking to us. David Collingwood is the Operations Director for the Cooperative Funeral Care. Simon sat through that shaking.
No,
shaking,
may I say, one of the things I did think about is that I tell you, if you wanted anybody to turn up at your house in the moment of sadness and tragedy, somebody like David Collingwood is immediately the person you'd want. The sound of respect in his voice about clearly the job he does was very, very clear. We're asking this morning, though, do you have a right to stop the traffic or to slow the traffic at least when somebody in your family dies? Should you really have a right to have a funeral cortege, a very slow-moving hearse followed by 6 or 7 very large estate or very luxurious cars?